Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway. A Wednesday at KSO show for you. I said on Monday, we're going to talk football. We are talking football today, and we're going to start with Drew's fun fact about Ireland. I know. I wanted to get that out there for everybody. You thought I was just going to jump in and give you the topic. Nope. I want Drew's fun fact to Ireland because K-State and Iowa State, where you're getting closer and closer, 4 days away from being exactly 5 months from kickoff. That sounds kind of crazy to say. But it's getting closer. It's getting exciting. And if you're still looking for your way to get to Ireland, your ticket, and also your way back home, because you probably don't want to be stuck over in Ireland for an extended period of time because you have a life, cats2ireland.com is the place for you. So that's, I think, should be the new slogan for them. I have a life, so I went to cats2ireland.com because it tells people, hey, I like to have fun, go see people, see the cats over in Ireland, but I have my way back home because I've got a life here too. You know, got to tend to the family, to the homestead, the old homestead, Drew. So what is your Ireland fun fact today for everybody?
My Ireland fun fact today is more kind of just talking about like the literature in Ireland, because it is a very big part of their life there, because they have had some very famous writers like Victorian playwright Oscar Wilde.
Never heard of him.
It's more, yeah, neither have I.
Oh, okay. But not that famous.
It's
then,
more
huh?
about this. No. So my fun fact for you is that it says that Ireland boasts a deep literary culture. So if you want to go and like find about like stuff about books and stuff, apparently Ireland's the place for you.
Oscar Wilde kind of looks like Severus Snape, so he's got that going for him. I'm looking to see if he would have done anything that I've heard of.
Probably not.
Don't know anything about it at all. Apparently he's regarded by many as the greatest playwright of the Victorian era. So
Oscar Wilde could be Severus Snape's twin. Like, I think I'm convinced now that Oscar Wilde is who, or Severus Snape is based on Oscar Wilde, looks wise.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, fascinating. Never heard of him until now, but, you know, I'm sure that backs up what you had to say about a lot of literature history over there. I look forward to not learning much about that because I haven't been a great reader since of like books in a long time. I've gotten more into it. I do enjoy a good trip to Barnes & Noble just to go through, see what's happening. And I like to find books, but I don't crank them out as religiously as I once did. My reading definitely peaked when I was like third through fifth grade. Yeah. I was a pretty good reader then. Not anymore.
AR tests and AR points were a good way to get people to actually read. Because you wanted to be number one.
200 points club right here. So everybody just back off. You know, somebody had a lot of AR points to spend at the AR party, and it was me. Shout out to J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter books for delivering in third grade. Those do wonders to your AR points. Yeah,
those would do it.
I walked in first day of fourth grade, and I was like, Miss Preston, I'm ready to take an AR test, because I had read the seventh Harry Potter book over the summer when it came out, and I was ready to load up. Those were like 20, 25 points if you did well on them. So I was day one in there. Everybody's getting their bearings, new school, fourth grade. I'm just over there sitting in front of the computer banging out an AR test on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And, you know, I got my points. So humble brag, folks, humble brag. Let's get into some guys that they've got real accomplishments in their life to brag about. Because what I did on an AR test in fourth grade, not very impressive. What I do now, not very impressive. But K-State's got some running backs that are playing Division I football in the Big 12, infinitely more impressive than anything I will ever do in my life. And that's a good reminder to everybody. When we talk about these guys, they are all very impressive because they've all accomplished something that a lot of us wish we could have and we never were able to. And we're going to talk about some talented guys today. They showed it when they got on the field last year. K-State's running back room going into this season, no more DJ Giddens. So this is now the second time in 3 years that K-State looks and goes, oh, we just lost a running back to the NFL. What do we have? Well, you got some decent options there. So how do you manage the expectations that you have for Dylan Edwards and Joe Jackson, and then how the rest of the room will come together as a whole? Because K-State did also add a running back in the portal. There are some younger guys behind just Edwards and Jackson there. So before we get into the two specific guys, where do you see the breakdown of this group altogether?
I think if you're breaking it down, you're really putting me on the spot here, and I'm trying to do like numbers in my head while I'm.
I can keep track for you if you want to give me like a percentage of touches a game or however you want to do this. I'll write it down for you. I've got your back.
Yeah, I would go like 45% of the snaps go to Dylan Edwards, then probably 40 go to Joe Jackson, and then 10 go to Gabe Irvin. And then 5% is just kind of like that wild card of like, there will be games like that North Dakota game, I imagine, that like somebody else is coming in and getting some carries. So I would kind of split it up like that. I think it's going to be closer to 50-50 than K-State has probably ever had, because I think that with how you can do this, you can have Dylan Edwards out in the slot and Joe Jackson in the backfield. We saw that in the Rate Bowl. You can have Joe Jackson in the slot and Dylan Edwards at the running back spot. We saw that in the Rate Bowl. So because of that, I think that you're going to see touches and snaps be pretty even between the two. The one thing that you really need to kind of hope for and bank on is that you get a lot of health from both of those two guys. Dylan Edwards missed a game last season. Joe Jackson has been a little bit dinged up throughout his entire career so far. Gabe Irvin also has a history of injuries. So you're hoping for health in the running back room, but there's no shortage of talent. You called them both decent options. I would say that they are well above average options. Because if you look at what I expect from the running backs this year, I don't think it's crazy to say that Dylan Edwards will be at like 12 to 1300 scrimmage yards at minimum. And then,
I want to clarify this real quick, because I think some people might have questions about it. When you say 45% of the snaps for Edwards, are you saying specifically at running back? Like, do you think,
because
I think the expectation would be that Dylan Edwards would be out on the field a lot more for K-State offense, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Specifically at running back.
Okay.
That's why I'm closer to 50-50.
And you had good math there. That did total, your percentages did total to 100. You also took my word usage of decent and treated it like my wife would when she's like, how does this look? Or, you know, is this okay? I'm like, yeah, it's all right. That's fine. And she's like, just fine. And I'm like, fine's pretty good for me. Like, I did
that to Scott Wildcat last night when we did Around the Horn too. If you haven't listened to that, I 100% did the same thing.
Oh, well, did you say that? Oh, I thought Connor Riley was a good offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. He's like, no, he was great. He was great.
He said something about like, if K-State basketball makes changes, will they be substantially better? And I said, you didn't say how substantially better. So I kind of got him on that.
Okay. Back to what people care about, the running backs. So you're talking about Edwards and Jackson, better than decent options there, and how that ends up looking in their usages, and then the others. Because this will probably be a little bit more on a higher end, similar to the 2019 running back situation. Yeah. But even that one got weird because, like, if I remember correctly, Jordan Brown wasn't healthy as much as they would have liked. And, you know, it was just clear that for what they wanted to do, James Gilbert was the better option as the lead back, but I still like Jordan Brown, and Harry Trotter was on that team as well. So what do you got here?
Yeah. So I'd say probably like at minimum, like 12 to 1300 yards for Dylan Edwards from scrimmage. I go on the low end because it's hard to know where a majority of his yardage is going to come from. If it's going to be like in the air through the passing game, or if he's going to be used more as a runner. Joe Jackson, probably around that 700 to 800 yards from scrimmage. I think that Gabe Irvin can get about 200 from scrimmage. Like, I think that there's so many options at the running back position. They haven't posted yet because I'm trying to knock them all out before we start posting them, but I've done position recruiting updates. And part of the recruiting update is just talking about like the overall health of the position and what K-State has. Running back is probably a sneaky, probably not number one pick on healthiest in how it has been trending, but it's probably number two. I'd have defensive ends probably number one, and then running backs probably number two. And I think that's a testament to Brian Anderson, because since he's been at K-State, I'm pretty sure I could have ran for 1,000 yards with how they're coaching running backs.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about the offensive line. I was like, are you calling Brian Anderson a system running backs coach? But I think they've had a pretty good tandem there with their running back coach and their offensive line coach, as evidenced by the fact that everywhere else on the offense has had the position coach change numerous times since Chris Kleiman's been here. Those two spots had been firmly in place until Connor Riley, not because he wasn't, you know, doing his job, but because he was doing it so well that the NFL was like, ah, this guy might be a good option to coach our offensive linemen. So it is a testament to what they've had go on at those two positions. So more specifically, before we get to Edwards and Jackson, the usage of Gabe Irvin, when he was brought in, I think at first my initial thought was, he's probably a little bit bigger than these two guys. Like, is he going to be the guy that instead of on third and one, Connor Riley decides to give it to his tiny, quick little running back, Dylan Edwards? Is he going to be able, would he have used Gabe Irvin instead when DJ Giddens was needing to blow last year? Is that what we're looking at for the usage of Gabe Irvin this season?
Yeah.
Or am I wrong with how I think that his style would play for this team?
No, I think that that's exactly correct. I would imagine that he's more short yardage. Sneakily, goal line usage, I think, would come in handy with his size and how he runs. Like, I know that DY did his entire breakdown of the running back position and said that his bold prediction, which wasn't super bold, was that Dylan Edwards ends up leading K-State in total touchdowns. A sneaky option for me would be Gabe Irvin, because if it's like third and goal from the one, why would you not give it to your huge back?
K-State seems to find themselves in a lot of situations like that. Or I think they're one of the best in the country, which it's not a great thing, of getting a first down at like the 9-yard line or something. So they've got first and goal from the 9. And it's like, oh, this is not good news.
They're so good at getting first and goal from the 9 or first and 10 from the 11, but never like first and goal from the 5.
Yeah. Yeah, our first and goals from the 2-yard line.
So if they're in that spot, like a sneaky pick for me to be like a touchdown merchant, which a lot of fantasy people hate, would be Gabe Irvin to come in and just be the power back and run it in. So I would imagine that that's his usage. Looking at the other guys like Davon Rice and Montario Elston and J.B. Price, I would say that there's probably more of a path for Elston and Rice to see the field, but probably more in a special teams capacity. I mean, Rice was trusted enough that he played in, I think, 3 or 4 games, mostly as a returner. So mm-hmm. I'd imagine that if you want to have somebody explosive with the ball in their hands, he's going to be one of the guys that's probably back there because you want less hits on Dylan Edwards. And then Montario Elston is also electric with the ball in his hands. So if he kind of gets up to speed with everything else, we know that K-State will reward their guys for playing really hard and being really good guys in practice by getting them on the field in a special teams capacity as a true freshman. And Elston's already here, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being one of the returners as well.
Yeah. So back to the stars of the show, what everybody I think has high expectations for with Dylan Edwards and Joe Jackson. You talked about kind of expectations for him for the split. How quickly do you think that takes? And then you mentioned how you think they can kind of be interchangeable in their usages like we saw against Rutgers. But how would you think that that would work out best for this K-State offense? Because that's one of the other things that plays into this is, I think last year, a lot of people would say, whether it's right or wrong, and I would throw myself into this group thinking that Dylan Edwards probably didn't get used enough and in the right type of ways in K-State's offense. And then some people think I'm crazy. I think Scott Wildcat might be one of them for suggesting that I think Connor Riley was going to have an easier time calling plays next year with this running back situation than the other, because I think the current running back situation with Dylan Edwards and Joe Jackson complements the rest of how K-State's offense should function better than a player like DJ Giddens. That is not a knock at all on DJ Giddens, and it's not a knock on the other guys, but stylistically, you need things to kind of fit together, and you know, you're not going to kick a great running back to the curb or a guy that's trending towards being a great quarterback to the curb. Like all these things, you're not going to do it. You got to figure it out. K-State did it at times, but then I thought we saw in the Rate Bowl, the offense had moments where it looked like more of what people wanted to see all throughout the season. And I get that's a month off bowl prep. You can do some different things, but I was encouraged by it. So now with Matt Wells doing everything and these guys being in place, what do you see everything looking like, or how it should look like with Edwards and Jackson?
Yeah, I would imagine it looks very similar to the Rate Bowl. Like there's no reason for it to not. And I think that you want to have both of those guys come in and spell each other, because you don't want Dylan Edwards to take a lot of hits. You probably don't want Joe Jackson to take a lot of hits. So you can kind of use them both in very unique ways. Because the one thing that we really saw last year a few times, just kind of randomly, and then saw it in the Rate Bowl, is Joe Jackson is also a really good receiver too. So you can have both of those guys on the field at the same time and not necessarily like always Jackson at running back and Edwards in the slot. You can kind of intertwine them a little bit. So I'm really excited about the future dynamic between these two, because I remember way back, three or four years ago now, talking about Joe Jackson and Dylan Edwards playing together when they were both in high school. So now to see how it really comes full circle and how they're used, I think will be a lot of fun, because I know that everybody really loves Dylan Edwards, and I know a lot of people really love Joe Jackson. So it'll be very fun to see that dynamic between the two, and both also great personalities that are really fun to be around.
Yeah, this is another reason to be, I think, excited, and one of the things to look forward to about next year. I talked about it a little bit in some other mediums, but we've been doing kind of the five things to look forward to. I did it for football at the start of the week. The one for basketball is out now, like looking ahead to the next seasons that'll be coming. And it was really easy for football. I could have probably come up with 100 reasons that I'm excited for football season. Basketball, a little bit tougher as it currently stands, I'm sure. In a little over a week, when the portal is in full swing, I will rapidly change on that, because we know how fun portal season can be and everybody getting wrapped up in it. But football right now, like, you can just go down the list of things that people are excited for and looking forward to, and the running back situation continues to be a constant. Like, the only time under Chris Klieman that it's felt like the running back room wasn't in a good standing was when he first took the job, and you were like, Alex Barnes is not coming back, and there's nobody here that can be a real running back for you. And then they immediately were able to piece it together with transfers before the portal was a thing. And then from that point forward, now it's been Deuce Vaughn and some really good guys next to him that you can trot out for a couple snaps. You float right into DJ Giddens, and it seems apparent that K-State is in a good spot with Edwards and Jackson now sliding into that role. And I think it's going to be exciting and interesting to see K-State get back to this, where you have, I think Edwards is still probably going to outpace Jackson's usage by a significant enough margin, but this will be a lot more similar to what they did in year one. And I think really what Chris Klieman's philosophy at running back was back at North Dakota State, because they always pretty regularly had two to three guys that were interchangeable in that spot. And it's going to be good for K-State to be able to keep guys healthy, because that was one of the things last year towards the latter part of the season. Like, DJ Giddens' best game of the season, he had some really good ones. You could make arguments on when it was. But the last time that it seemed like he was probably at the peak of his powers was the Colorado game. And there were moments there where, like, he got dinged up and he had to miss a series or couldn't be out there. And from that point forward, just because he had to take so much of the load throughout that point in the season. This year, number one, because you don't have a DJ Giddens that you feel like you constantly need to give the ball to, and you have to give it to. Like, DJ Giddens commanded that. But now, like, two guys that are a year older, they're ready for this role, and you're going to be able to hopefully use this as a way to keep the running backs a little bit more healthy. And neither guy will have significant moments this year where you go, why is he not on the field right now? Why is he not on the field? Oh, well, because he needs some time off because he's really banged up at this point. So that's another exciting aspect of all this.
Yeah, and then we haven't even talked about, like, Avery using his legs. Like, this could be a very, very dangerous team on the ground again. And it's why, again, if you can take another step in the right direction passing, which, I mean, last year, getting kind of nitpicky, Avery breaks the passing touchdown record, breaks the sophomore passing yards record. But if you keep taking another step in the passing game, this will be a tough offense to stop.
Yeah. No, it's a lot of exciting possibilities with this team. And you see with the guys that are taking marquee roles, like, they're the whole saying of they're a year older is significant to all of them, because the main pieces of this offense are all going to be juniors this coming season. Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards, Jace Brown, Joe Jackson, like, they are all going into their third year of college football.
Yeah. Can we take a second to kind of talk about and just appreciate again how good that 2023 class was? You highlighted those guys. You also have Will Ancio at tight end, Austin Romaine at linebacker, Jack Fabris at safety. Like, that 2023 class, Chidi Obiezer, I kind of totally forgot about him in that mix. Like, that class was loaded for K-State.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that'll do it for the football talk here. Final question for you, Drew. NCAA tournament will be started in full come the next time that we talk to everybody. Who did you pick to win the national championship?
I am very lame and picked Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, I am a Big 12 homer for the, 100th consecutive year. Well, outside of years where I thought UConn could win it. That was pre Dan Hurley. I was like an OG. I loved UConn guy. But yeah, that kind of, they haven't been as fun lately because of Dan Hurley and other stuff. I took Houston, so I am going with the Cougs.
I like that. I have had nightmares going back and forth picking between Houston and Gonzaga round two, because I think the winner of that probably goes to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
Don't worry about it. I will be viewing both of those teams tomorrow. I'll give you a scouting report on them. I will be in Intrust Bank Arena to watch the Cougars and Cougars. Shout out to SIUE. So we're going to see what they bring, and then Gonzaga, Georgia afterwards, which, I mean, what a mismatch of an 8-9 game. I've never felt more confident picking an 8-9 game than Gonzaga, Georgia. Georgia, total afterthought to me. I don't care about them one way or the other. And just to also bring some excitement to everybody, my daughter picked Yale to win it all.
Nice.
Because I had to go renew my driver's license yesterday since my birthday is coming up. And we were sitting there, and it was taking forever, which, by the way, I appreciate DMVs now all of a sudden trying to get people to set appointments and everything. That's great. If you're going to make somebody set an appointment, don't make them sit for 50 minutes then. What's the point of the appointment? So we're sitting there waiting, and I'm like, how am I going to be able to keep a 1.5-year-old occupied? What are we going to do here? Just sitting. I thought it was going to be quick. I didn't bring a toy in. I didn't bring a book. I didn't bring anything for her. And so I was like, well, you know what? Let's just go look through here. And I use the March Madness app every year to fill out the bracket, because then you can just watch the games right in and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, let's see what this mascot mode is all about. So let me show you what mascot mode does, Drew. It is exactly what it says it is. It just goes ahead and it shows you the mascots of the games. And so a very interactive for a 1.5-year-old. And so we just sat there in the DMV for like 15 minutes and she was just poking away at the screen and whatever she liked. Let me show you what her final four is.
I just saw Wofford and Baylor, so I'm very intrigued about where this goes.
She had Yale and Texas Tech.
Okay.
For some reason, she really liked the Masked Rider logo. And then, yeah, Baylor and Wofford. big dog girl. We knew this, and it bore out in her picks. She does also like Bears because she knows that Bears go grr. And she loves that Baylor logo with the bear. I don't know why. The shirt that I got her at the Big 12 tournament, she loves looking at that and the Willie on there. But I thought, I was like, this is a really creative idea. She also really liked Purdue Pete. Which was a weird one. I know most people think that he's a freak.
Pete is a weirdo.
VCU in the Elite Eight. Ooh. So just, you know, if people are trying to find things there. Another dog, UConn.
Do we have a 16 over a 1 anywhere?
Let me go back through and check. There you go. Marquette. She liked the eagle spinning the basketball.
That is actually a great logo. Marquette, use that more.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, this was, I think this was the toughest pick of the tournament for Akron or Baylor. She really liked the kangaroo mascot. Let's see. Another great logo that's coming up here that I'll show you. Well, first off, we all know that the dunking cardinal is an awesome logo.
Dunking cardinal is awesome.
I was bummed that she didn't want to send that one further. She liked the Utah State dribbling the basketball, and she recognized it was a cow, so she was sitting there mooing the entire time we were waiting. She'd go, moo, and I was like, I don't know about that. So, yeah, those are the fascinating ones. I don't think we got a 1 over a 16, so she's a smart girl. She did have Omaha beating St. John's, so she's taking Omaha to the Sweet 16, which makes sense because she also likes to play with trash cans.
I was about to say, what's the Omaha logo that they're putting on here?
It's also, you know,
another cow.
Livestock and dogs. This girl's all about it. This is what shocked me. She took Drake to lose to Texas Tech in the second round. I was like, that's a dog. What are we doing here? But tough look for them.
I did see that she has KU winning first round. So that's tough.
I know. And I tried. I was like, what are we doing here? She knows.
That's tough.
Oh, okay. There is one 16 seed that loses because I just saw that she had Norfolk State advancing to the second round. Nice. So they play Auburn, don't they? They got Auburn.
They have. Let me do some research here.
Oh, they got Florida. So she got Florida. You're wrong, Drew. She thought you had a horrible national champion pick.
Apparently.
So I would just implore any of the parents out there, the mascot mode on the NCAA March Madness app, best way to have your small child fill out a bracket. So, and I was entertained seeing all the different logos pop up because, as seen here, I like mascots playing sports, you know? Sue me for liking my mascots playing with balls. So, which, by the way, I told Drew the tennis version of this shirt is supposed to be delivered later on in the week. So
got to wear it on Friday.
We're looking forward to that. Again, I have not touched a tennis racket since I was probably in high school. So I just give me all the weird Willie logos playing odd sports. Where's Willie with the oar for rowing? Can't wait till that one comes out. We'll keep everybody posted on that, but that'll do it for us today. We will be back in action on Friday and we'll have more football content for you. Then also a lot of other stuff to kind of get into, because we'll start to get closer and closer to the portal becoming a real thing and something that matters in a significant way. So we'll have to keep tabs on all of that. And then plenty of other stuff going on currently at kstateonline.com. So head over to On3. Get signed up if you're not, and follow along with everything we got going over there right now as Drew and I hold down the fort here, and we'll be back again on Friday. So that's Drew Galloway. I'm Mason Vo. Thanks for watching the KSO show. Back again later in the week.